Since the days of Cain, man has tried to do God his way. Not God's way, but man's way. And it's always a failure. And our youth are very susceptible to this. The older Christians, I think, one thing that makes the older Christians so grand is that they've piled up enough sin in their life to know how valuable the mercy of God is, the grace of God, the goodness of God, and the glory that awaits.
This is Cross Reference Radio with our pastor and teacher, Rick Gaston. Rick is the pastor of Calvary Chapel, Mechanicsville. Pastor Rick is currently teaching a special topical message. Please stay with us after today's message to hear more information about Cross Reference Radio, specifically how you can get a free copy of this teaching. But for now, let's join Pastor Rick in the book of Hosea chapter 7 as he begins his message, Satan's Snacks.
Please turn to the prophet Hosea chapter 7. I have quite a few Bible verses, and one of the reasons why is, well, I love the Bible verses, that's one. The other is because if you don't take my word for it, maybe you'll take God's word. And we'll see. Please stand for the reading of God's word. Hosea chapter 7, verse 8. Ephraim has mixed himself among the peoples. Ephraim is a cake unturned. Please be seated. I wanted to keep going. Aliens have devoured his strength, not Martian-type aliens, but those estranged from God, those against God. The prophet Hosea, you could subtitle his prophecies, The Lamentation of God. You could say it is the sob story of the North. You could say it is the prophet's plea. This is a heartfelt delivery of God's word to a people who don't want anything to do with him anymore. They like human religion more than truth. This is a practice that has never been out of style in humanity. Since the days of Cain, man has tried to do God his way. Not God's way, but man's way. And it's always a failure. And our youth are very susceptible to this. The older Christians, I think, one thing that makes the older Christians so grand is that they've piled up enough sin in their life to know how valuable the mercy of God is, the grace of God, the goodness of God, and the glory that awaits. But the youth may not be there yet. Ephraim, that is the northern kingdom. Ephraim was one of the larger, more dominant tribes, and so Hosea singles them out. It's a poetic touch, but it is actually very accurate. Ephraim has mixed himself among the peoples. Ephraim is a half-baked cake. In verse 17 of chapter 4, he said, Ephraim is joined to idols. Leave him alone. Keep your distance from Ephraim. The Hebrew prophet is calling out the Jews who joined these human religions, and they became spiritual failures because of their poor choice, willfully preferring lies about God and therefore lies about themselves. If you settle for lies about God, you will be dishonest with your own self. And the Bible says to us, to humanity, I want to help you. I want to help you with this. I want to help you out of this mistake. They offered themselves, this northern tribe, those who were given to idols, they had offered themselves as little snacks, little morsels for Satan, and in so damning their own souls. They were hors d'oeuvres, you know, that little meal before the dinner. The dinner is the soul going to hell. The snack is this lifestyle on earth. And I hope the youth, I hope you're listening to this, I hope I don't lose your attention as we consider God's word. God's displeasure with this type of behavior, with this following man-made religions, with making things up about eternity and spiritual things, with insisting that they are true without any evidence to back it up. God's displeasure with this continues to this day, and the New Testament rings in on it. It ratifies what the prophet says. It stands by them. Foursquare. John, finishing up his letter, dealing with the heretics creeping into the early church. He says, little children, keep yourselves from idols. Don't believe that junk. Stick with Christ who died for you. To the Ephesians, Paul says, don't give place to Satan. Don't give up an inch to him. To the Corinthians, again, Paul says, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we're not ignorant of his devices. We know what he's doing. We know what he's up to. Have the guts to stand up and say he's wrong, instead of looking to the world who's totally under his influence, who is drunk with the devil's meddling. Don't look to the world and find out how you should live. Look to God's word. Look to those decent servants of Christ that are older than you. 1 Corinthians 15, Paul says, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed for nothing. Don't let some scholar come along and say that doesn't mean what it says. It means just what it says. If you hold fast that word which I preach to you, unless you believe for nothing. That is a wake-up call to anyone who thinks that their Christianity is on automatic pilot. They have no say-so in how you serve Christ. You do have say-so to some degree under the lordship of Christ. Don't devalue that word lordship. Master, ruler, God Almighty. That's what we mean by it. When we call him Lord, we are saying he is God Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth, the word of God, and the will of my soul, based on God's word. That's our path. And it's hard. It's a fight. But it's a lot harder without it. It's a lot harder going to hell all dressed up and comfortable rather than going to heaven with your armor singed and smoke smoldering, dented up. Long before social media, God was telling his people that there were those to unfriend. I don't like using these things too much, but I think it's very appropriate, especially with the youth in mind, with those of you who are born into a generation that has this social media. You cannot be a friend of God and wear the uniform of Satan at the same time. James tries to tell us this. You cannot be a friend with God if you are running around with his enemies. 1 Corinthians 10, Paul says it like this. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and the table of demons. You cannot do them both at the same time. You cannot serve two masters. And in this case, one is the devil. What is hard to understand about any of this? Well, the flesh, that carnal nature, that fallen nature that we all are saddled with, it rises up in protest. It says, I don't believe that. Just what Satan wants you to say. Satan doesn't even want you to believe in him. Satan wants you to think he's a myth while he gobbles you up. One of his delicacies are stupid people, spiritually stupid. He loves them because they don't want to hear what the Bible has to say. Their mind is made up. And we try to reach them through the scripture, through our lives, through reason. The text that we're looking at here in Hosea, Ephraim has mixed himself among the peoples. Ephraim is a cake unturned. It's a symbol of total failure. Undeveloped on one side, burned on the other side. If the prophet is saying you've left that one side cooking too long and you haven't cooked the other side. On the other hand, maybe he's left it on there just enough time, looking at the metaphor, and you have a half-right cake. You have a half-right people, a half-lived religion, a half-hearted confession, a half-baked cake. And the side of the cake that is right does not make the side of the cake that is wrong acceptable. It's still wrong. It's wrong to the point where the whole thing is a failure. There's nothing to salvage from this. In the sixth chapter, he writes, he says, O Ephraim, what shall I do to you? O Judah, what shall I do to you? For your faithfulness is like the morning cloud, and like the early dew, it goes away. There's God saying, I'm struggling with this. It's anthropomorphic. It is God trying to appeal to our sense of reason by sort of getting down where we are and speaking our language. Of course, God knows what he's going to do, but he's saying to us, what am I supposed to do with you? You behave this way. What can anybody do? Your goodness lasts as a flash in the pan. You come to church, you like what you hear, but then on the way out, there's this pile of armor. and it's yours. Because you'd rather go out into the world dressed like them than go out into the world dressed like one of the people of God. You therefore become a snack of Satan if you do this. What shall I do with you? God says. That's this prophet appealing to the nation. There's a sob in every sentence as he calls these people who had every opportunity to believe and chose not to. Ungodly alliances are one of the greatest threats to a Christian's life, to a Christian's service, no matter what age you are. But especially at risk are our youth. And when I say youth, listen, you can have many kids and still be immature, underdeveloped. Just because you procreate doesn't mean that you've come under the lordship of Christ, that you're maturing. And so the fact within that, though, is that our teens are more susceptible. They've not been around long enough to understand how to respond to many things. But I have to add, there are those teens that seem to get it. They get it and they keep it. And if they can get it, they all can get it. There's no excuse in that sense. And so Ephraim mixed himself among the peoples. These are the unbelievers. And this is what caused the whole problem. This is that symbol of failure that I mentioned earlier. Do you agree or not? Don't answer out loud. But ask yourselves, do you agree or not that ungodly alliances are the greatest threats, or one of the greatest threats to Christianity, to a Christian's life and service? Maybe you don't believe the Bible. Instead, you believe that Satan, as I mentioned, is a myth created by the Christians. Maybe you've fallen for that. Well, before I go return to that, let's come back to this 7th chapter of Hosea in verse 8, where he says Ephraim has mixed himself among the peoples. In verse 8, he also says Ephraim is a cake unturned. In verse 11, he says Ephraim also is a silly dove. In verse 16, they're like a treacherous bow. In other words, imagine you're going to shoot a firearm and the thing blows up in your hand. You can't trust it. It's going to hurt you. And all of these descriptions he's applying to a people that were raised with a Bible. They were raised with the word of Moses and the prophets. And yet they threw that away to go with people who had nothing but stories that they just insisted were true without basis. But in those days, everybody knew the Jews came out of Egypt. Everybody knew the Exodus story. You couldn't refute it. It'd be like living today and saying, well, the Civil War didn't happen. In my devotion time this week, I was in Deuteronomy, and I got to the 20th chapter in verse 18, and I read what God is telling them. You need to take these people out of this land. This is the promised land. You're instruments of judgment. You have to drive them out of these cities. You make no treaties with them. Then he says, why? Lest they teach you to do according to all their abominations, which they have done for their gods, and you sin against Yahweh, your God. You toss your God under the proverbial bus because you like these other guys. But they're lies. And that's where we are. Several hundred years later, here's the prophet Ephraim saying, you're cake unturned because you didn't drive them out. You drove yourself to them. When I was a lad in New York, I had a mentor in my life. He had one of the best-known karate schools in the nation at the time. It was a tough place. It was in Chinatown. And when you'd come there, he had the outside. It was a big loft. He had the outside fixed. So you feel like you were in Tokyo or something. But he's very creative. He's an eccentric. I think he was a genius, but he was very eccentric. Well, he had this big chain outside, and he wrote canine on it. And the idea was like, this is how big my dog is. But he also had this other sign that I think about it often. It said, attack trained. And what he meant by, if you're going to come mess with us, you better be ready because we're ready. And I've just always admired that. You know, most people do not know how to handle an assault on them. You don't know what to do if somebody punches at you, swings at you. So you say, what does this have to do with Hosea? I'm getting there. Some are natural scrappers. Some people just know. They're just fighters. That doesn't mean they're mean or anything. They just know how to protect themselves. But the spiritual application is this. In the physical world, you can see the attack as it is coming, or unless you're getting sucker punched, but you know what's going on at some point. Spiritually, though, only those that are trained know what's going on. Only those who can discern the devil, only those who are spiritually alive can really see what is happening. And if it were any other way, everybody would be saved. And some of these people that I have in mind are trained in a good home. They go to a good Bible-teaching church. But still they don't learn that they're being attacked by Satan. They don't know because they're not trained because they don't want to be trained. They're too busy fussing. They're too busy arguing. They're too busy resisting. They're too busy trying to be themselves and follow the world instead of coming under the authority of those who love them and provide for them and are raising them. And when Paul says, put on the entire armor of God, he's saying, don't leave any of it off. Don't think all you need is, a light one. I'll just take the shield. He's saying, you better be ready for whatever unfolds, that you may be able to stand. Remember, we were reading that from Corinthians, where Paul says, if you, stand, unless you believe for nothing, put on the entire armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. See, they know he's up to no good. They know his devices. They know that he is wily. But those who refuse to be trained, they don't. And it's their fault, largely, if they're raised in a home, if they go to a church where the word is preached. So as a teen, being born into a house of believers, I don't automatically become righteous. I do not automatically love the Lord Jesus. If that were so, then we wouldn't be seeing so many of our little girls being seduced into perversity you can't even imagine. When you hear a voice in your head and you're born a female and you hear that voice say, I want to be a boy, that's Satan. It ain't the milkman. Well, there are no more milk. That is the voice of the devil when you hear such things and you start being entertained by it. Israel was trained in the ways of Yahweh, but they opted not to see the punches that were coming their way. They never used that training, not the audience that Hosea is speaking to. O Ephraim, what shall I do with you? Judah, what am I going to do with you? Ungodly alliances puts the Christian child on the snack platter for the devil. That is a fact. Where else are you going to hear this? Except the church, except the house of God. The supposition that goes along with this in the minds of those susceptible to this thing. And by supposition, I mean they have no proof for the lifestyle that they're choosing. They hear of the gospel so much that it is no longer valuable to them, I suppose. Speaking of supposing, if you are young, God is not saying, I want you to suppose your way through life. God is saying, I want to train you. I want to teach you. I want to tell you what's going on. Never mind what all the other Christians are doing when I'm talking to you right now. He says, I want you to listen to me. Satan is going to come at you. He's going to attack you. You will not be automatically ready because you're, impressed with yourself? Because you haven't thought that far? There will be lust. There will be the self-will. There may be substance abuse temptations, covetousness. There's the culture that we face. There are those ungodly alliances. When the devil sends friendly people your way, people who are friendly to you but not to God, they're not to be your friends. And I don't mean you can't be polite. I don't mean we should be rude or anything like that. But we got to understand whose uniform people are wearing. It makes all the difference. Those who are drawn to Christ or those who are trying to draw you away from him because they don't care about him. This is the world. This is the society. These are the advocates of perversity that are now in global control of communications. Even the commercials, the ads are pushing the sodomite spirit, perversity. And the big one right now in the world, with all of her diabolical philosophies and theories and deceptions and dishonest insistence, is that transformation of your gender. God's not given that option to anybody. I'll come back to that one, because we need to come back to that one, because it is Sodom and Gomorrah revived. But it's not supposed to be that way, especially if you're raised in a house of godly people. You have a pastor that preaches the word. Paul, writing to the Colossians, said, "Beware lest anyone cheat you." What part of anyone is not anyone? What? "Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ." So after Cain slayed his brother, after he murdered his brother, because he was jealous of his faith, because Abel was righteous, when Cain goes on with the grace of God on his life, did he begin to advocate worshiping God any way you want? Of course he did, because he never repents. He would have pushed that philosophy and others would have gobbled it up. Paul continues in Colossians chapter 2, verse 18, "Let no one cheat you of your reward." That means you can be cheated from it. "Taking delight in false humility, the worship of angels, intruding into things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind." Paul's saying, here's a person not walking with Christ. Don't let them cheat you. Don't let them convince you with these little arguments that is nothing more than insistence without, it has no basis in fact or reality. There's no proof. Scripture offers a tremendous amount of proof. This very prophet, Hosea, in the earlier chapters, he said, listen, God's people are going to go without a temple. They're not going to have a king. They're not going to have princes. They're not going to have it. And that was the case since 70 AD until 1948. That was the case. That was a prophetic word. This is why Peter said we have the more sure word of prophecy. He wasn't limiting it to predictive prophecy, but he was including predictive prophecy because there are types of prophecy. There's direct prophecy. Thus says the Lord. You know, when Nathan said to David, "You're the man, David. You're the sinner in this case. You're the problem." That was direct prophecy. And so, the word of God is always right. How foolish and thoughtless youth can be without even trying. They don't even know they are many times. Do you disagree with this? Or do you suppose that the youth are always very thoughtful and never foolish? I mean, it's a struggle all of us go through all of our lives to not be foolish and thoughtless. I know what it's like to be raised in a home where Christ is preached and loved, and I also know what it's like to turn away from him. But I also know what it's like to have him reach out for me. And I also know what it's like to say, "Thank you, Lord, for reaching out to me." Being lost is like being a driver who is lost but thinks they're going in the right direction. And the more they hit that gas pedal, the further away they're going. This is the world. They're driving through life lost, and they're pushing on that gas pedal as hard as they can push, but they're going the wrong way. There are plenty of detour signs that are given to them through the church. David, or the psalmist of Psalm 118, I believe David, he expressed this about himself. He said, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word." What a wonderful confession. David was saying, I messed up, but I'm not beyond correction. Presumption occurs when my will becomes better than God's will. That makes me, in the biblical sense, presumptuous. Presumption is action or speech or thought contrary to God and without justification. We see it in several places, but I just want to take one. This is the story of the Jews. You know, Moses said, "I want you to go in the land, spy it out, and tell me what you see." What he should have said to them when they came back is, "I asked you what you saw. I didn't ask you your opinion." Joshua won't give him that. When Joshua later sends the spies in, he doesn't say, "So, what do you think? We take this place?" Anyway, they were sent into the promised land. He said, "The land is flowing with milk and honey. Look at the grapes we brought and the fruit. I mean, this is a wonderful place, but we can't beat these giants." And that's how, you know, you wish in hindsight that Moses would have said, "Shut up. Nobody asked you that. You were sent out as spies. You're not a decision maker here." But anyway, they came back with their negative report, and they infected the nation. The nation fell under their spell. Two people did not. Of course, Moses did not either, but Moses had other issues where he wasn't going in, and he's good with that at this point. So they decide, when Moses comes back to them and says, "Listen, hear the word of the Lord. Your carcasses are going to litter the wilderness." They said, "Oh, we have sinned. We blew it." Moses said, "You sure did." He didn't say that, but he should have. But he that was it for Moses. For his thinking, okay, it's done. But what they did is said, "We're going to go in anyway."
Thanks for joining us for today's teaching on Cross Reference Radio. This is the radio ministry of Pastor Rick Gaston of Calvary Chapel, Mechanicsville, in Virginia. We trust that what you've heard today has been something to remember. If you'd like to listen to more teachings from this series, go to crossreferenceradio.com. Once more, that's crossreferenceradio.com. We encourage you to subscribe to our podcast, too, so you'll never miss another edition. Just go to your favorite podcast app to subscribe. You can also connect with us through YouTube. We hope you'll tune in again next time as we continue spending time reading God's Word and learning together. Make a note in your calendar to join Pastor Rick again right here on Cross Reference Radio.